Well, it would be the podcast for a Friday show, and the Friday shows used to be full of beans, full of enthusiasm. Oh, the weekend is upon us. Nothing more to sort of put a dampener on your weekend. And a girl goes, oh, can we just be friends? I don't really feel that spark. I see right through that. That means I find you heinous, Lakey. I put the call out. Is the quote, I just don't feel we have that spark, just a really nice way of saying that you're disgusting and ugly and I'm embarrassed to be seen in public with you, and there will be no way that I'll be mothering your children in the future. That gets a run on the podcast a little later on. Also, Lizzie Rose, the dream analyst. I keep having the same dream about Samantha Armitage. Will she cure me? I don't know. I just want to know what the cure is, so I make sure I don't do that, because I quite enjoy dreaming about Samantha Armitage. And also, a caramel milk. Yes, the caramel milk chocolate. Recalled, because there's plastic in it. Don't eat chocolate, whatever you do, until you enjoy the podcast.
Wakey, wakey. It's Danny Lakey.
What did you find in your food? Could be talking packaged food. Could be talking fresh food from the fresh food people. Could be talking some sort of restaurant scenario or a fast food example where you've just opened up something, but oh God, what is that? What is that? Maybe even, unfortunately, you've taken a bite. It's fine when you spot it. It's fine when you spot it to avoid any sort of disaster on the cards. But we've all, like, imagine someone out there like taking a big chomp into an apple and seeing that like their life has turned into a cartoon and half a worm has actually been bitten off into the apple. Then they run out of the room panicking and slip on a banana peel, hit their head, and then birds start flying around their head. What a world. This could happen because caramel chocolate recalled after plastic found in blocks. The caramel from Cadbury, which is the block that has taken everyone by storm at the moment. You can't get it anywhere. It's sold out. However, all those products need to be returned because of the risk of small pieces of plastic. Media released by Cadbury's a little earlier today are saying that the blocks of popular chocolate were found to contain small, flexible pieces of food-grade plastic as a result of a machinery fault during the manufacturing process. And if swallowed, it can cause minor injury. Now, don't take my words for it. Like, live your own life. But having spoken from experience of a man that accidentally consumed 5 plastic forks within 1 week, I can tell you that there is very low risk of internal damage. That was the time I accidentally blended a plastic fork each day in the smoothie because I was pouring the fruit in and not really looking and accidentally poured a plastic fork in as well. And I had all these little white bits, and I was drinking the smoothies going, what are all these white bits? Must be watermelon seeds or something. Until I realised on the Friday that I'd been pouring mini forks in to each smoothie, getting blended up into a juice. 5 plastic forks within the week. If it was me and I ran into this caramel milk stuff and I saw like a little bit of plastic chilling in the middle, I wouldn't return it. I think I'd just eat around it. I'd siphon through each block, just don't do any risky bites, and just probably get the rest of it out there. The good news is that it's not all blocks that need to be returned, but if you do have a caramel milk block with the best before dates of 17th of the 1st, 2019, right through to the 21st of the 9th, 2019, maybe just do a little bit of a double check for plastic in there. Happens all the time. Sometimes the factory breaks. Sometimes something slips in. Sometimes the natural order of the animal kingdom will somehow weasel its way into something. Mick from Sydney, you found a frog in your chocolate mousse once.
Nah, mate.
No, it was just a guess. How crazy would that have been, though, if I guessed the animal and the food?
Hey, morning, big dog. Anyway, I bought my son a Happy Meal from McDonald's. And we went home, he unwrapped it, and there was a bite taken out of the burger, like a clean bite. And I'm like, all right, no worries. So I went back down there, and I showed the manager, and he's looking at me like I've taken the bite out and gone down there.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, mate, fix this now, and I want your cooks out the front here right now. I said, and he goes, do you want a replacement meal? I said, I'm not feeding this shit to my family. And then I told him to stick it up his ass and walked out.
Oh, you showed him. It's funny when the manager does that because you think that the first point of call is you've just got to give customer benefit of the doubt to avoid some sort of PR storm, to avoid some sort of social media viral nightmare going on. As a manager, you just got to suck it up. No matter what your personal opinion is of how the bite got there, you've just got to be like, you know what? Why would this bloke have done all this travelling just for that one bite?
Well, that's one bite, that's what I mean.
No questions asked, no questions asked. That's quite sinister as well, isn't it? Because it's not like some sort of like accidental bug has landed in it and it could be a full-on accident. Someone has dead set consciously bit out of that and is then like, you know what's going to be funny? We just dish this one off.
Yeah, not to my son.
Not to old Mick Jr. Not to old baby Mick. No chance. Thanks for the call, Mick. 131060. What did you find in your food? We'll get more calls on next.
Wakey, wakey. It's Danny Lakey.
Cadbury Caramilk recall. What did you find in your food? So Cadbury have issued a statement today. You might have seen it on the socials. That Cadbury's saying, hey, stop everything. If you bought one of those blocks of Caramilk chocolate, first of all, congratulations to you because they're a hot item at the moment and they're in high demand due to their rare exclusivity. However, if your block says that it's best before the 17th of the 1st, 2019, all the way through to best before 21st of the 1st, 2019, think heavily about your decisions of eating that chocolate because there could be some plastic in there. The whole machine's gone tits up and it's like leaked plastic into the blocks and whatnot. And as a man who's accidentally eaten 5 plastic forks over a week before, I can say, if they're just small bits, you can probably get away with it. I mean, eat around it if there's a full-on plastic knife sandwiched in the middle of the block. But if it's just a little bit, you should be all right. Just chew it 30 times. Kyle from Melbourne on 131060, you found something in your food before that shouldn't have been there?
Yeah, I got a Cadbury Boost bar, and when I went to take a bite of it, when I ate, there was a piece of rope in the middle. So once I took the bite, there was a rope sticking out.
Wow. Okay, so you've committed to the bite first and then found out, which is not an ideal way to realise that some contraband's in there. First of all, Wish is copping some terrible rumours and examples tonight. Now, Cadbury, this is two bad Cadbury stories in the same break.
Yeah, they did not believe me.
If you've got stocks in Cadbury, sell now. Sell now. A third and we're going to the Ombudsman. But hang on a second. When you say rope, what do you mean rope? Because I've always thought rope would be quite noticeable in the
how thick bit of rope in it in the middle.
How thick was the rope?
Like maybe a half a centimeter.
In relation to your pinky finger, thinner or thicker than that?
Oh, thinner.
Thinner.
Right. Yeah, but it was like a nice piece of rope.
Be
like,
careful, Kyle, because we're getting into string territory now.
Oh, string, yeah.
Was it string or rope? I mean, how thick does a piece of string have to be until it turns into rope? Well, how thick's a piece of string?
Big enough that if it was a piece of string, I could bite through it. Piece of rope, I can't.
Okay, so it was more like a dental floss? Is that what we're talking?
Nah, more than that.
Thicker than dental floss, thinner than a pinky finger. I see.
Yeah.
No matter what, it's not an ideal thickness. And you've bitten into it. So you've chomped down, you've broken the string / rope in question?
No, I didn't break it. That's how thick it was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's why I called it a rope, not a string.
I mean, this is a great... Producer Felix, write that down for Monday's show. When does string become rope? At what thickness? Not good, though. Not good to find in a Boost chocolate bar. Are you turned off by that gear? Or do you go back to it?
Honestly, I've gone back.
Yeah. No, and so you should. Because I think lightning doesn't strike twice in the same place. I think now that you've gotten your bad chocolate ropey karma out the way, that's not happening again in your lifetime.
Nah.
That's fine. Are you the kind of man that would return a tomato soup if you found an eyelash in it? Or you'd just pick the eyelash out and continue on?
Nah, 100% return that.
Oh, Diva. No, everyone's moral compass lies in slightly different places of the Caspian Sea. Thank you, Carl from Melbourne. Hayden from Melbourne on 131060. What did you find in your food?
A few years ago, I was having some Ferrero Rochers and obviously been a small chocolate, unwrapped it, chucked it in my mouth, thinking, oh, this doesn't taste quite right. spit it out, and there was a bunch of maggots in there.
Oh, no. That's the nightmare. That is the full... That's the end of the line. Because
yeah,
you're right.
It.
The Ferrero Rocher, no one like nibbles on a Ferrero Rocher like an apple. It's a one-mouth pop.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, oh. didn't inspect or anything. Yeah, straight in there and back out it came.
Yes, sure. Now, what is it, the taste or the texture that got to you first where you realised something was awry?
The texture, yeah. It was like real crumbly and everything. And I was like, yeah, this is not right.
Yeah. Not that stereotypical melt-in-your-mouth moment that the Ferrero Rocher usually gives on. Oh, God, Ferrero nightmare.
Yeah, well, it was, and it wasn't like the packet had been damaged, so I didn't expect anything. And
no, well, you wouldn't, would you? You just think it's another night on the Rochers.
Yep.
My heart goes out to you, really does. Maggots and the Ferrero Rocher. Jeez, I don't think we're going to beat that. I reckon you got the crown, big dog.
It wasn't ideal, but it's all right. Back on the Ferrero Rochers next
back
time.
On
it's all good.
Oh, that's good. That's good. All right. One Ferrero, yeah. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater when it comes to maggots in your chocolate. Like our old mate from just before. It's done now. Your time is done. It's like chicken pox. Once it's happened, it's not happening again.
Exactly right.
So true. Wakey, wakey, it's Danny Lakey around the country, 131060, that's the number. Do you keep dreaming about the same person over and over again? What does that mean? Well, celeb psychic, witch, dream analyst, Lizzie Rose, the psychic, joins us again. Get around that big duck. She's here. Hello.
Hello.
First things first, I mean, I want to get stuck into this dream stuff, but I couldn't help but notice you commented on the Wakey It's Lakey on Insta, saying that you predicted me and Sophie Monk would never be combining her ovum and my sperm to make a beautiful baby.
I know. I'm so sorry. I just, my heart goes out to you, and I've seen your naked display of affection towards Miss Monk, but I just can't see you with her. I'm sorry.
Was this a psychic opinion, or was this just seeing my gross pasty rig and thinking, no, facts are facts, that's not happening?
Well, it's because, actually, it's not to take it away from you, but Miss Monk already has a man, and he is lingering around. He's a little bit younger, he's a little bit taller, a bit more muscly than Stu, not than you, but than Stu.
Okay.
And soon, in the next couple of months, you might... So that's a bit of a scoop, eh? Because nobody knows about this.
Does Sophie know about it yet?
She probably has a sort of an idea, but I don't think she's really taking this young man as seriously as what he's presenting to her. But love is on the cards for her, and it's going to be quite really nice. It's a nice future for her. Good on her.
Yeah, good on her indeed. And so this man has a high sperm count, because that still doesn't rule out the old Lake Dog 5000 coming in at the end just to make a small deposit.
In psychic readings, that don't usually work on the sperm count. I don't usually get so I can't tell you whether he's going to produce or not, but they're certainly going to fall in love, so that's nice.
Well, I can tell a man's sperm count just by looking at them, Lizzie Rose, even just by looking at their display photo on Facebook, and I can see into the future, and he doesn't have any sperm left in that thing. It's just grey, milky dust. Anyway. Dreaming about the same person over and over again. Now, what does this mean? Because I've had a recurring dream over Sam Armitage for the last 17 nights in a row. It's been quite nice. I mean, Koshy has been coming in at the end just as I wake up, ruining the whole thing. Typical Kosh fashion. But what would it mean if I'm dreaming about the same person all the time?
See, this is interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, if we look at this here, dreams at their core are messages that are suggesting changes in our conscious attitudes. All right, so it's obviously we understand that it's equally important that our mind reboots just like our body, and it only happens when we're in deep sleep. So if you're having a reoccurring dream, it's sort of like called a loop, a dream loop, if you like, and you're stuck in some sort of loop of something that unconsciously you need to consciously, if that makes sense, change and translate. So repetitive dreams are telling us, and you, Lakey, you're importantly here, that it's really important that we explore and change the conscious or waking state that is related to the dream message. So basically it's happening because there's something that you need to deal with in your conscious state that you're not dealing with, and it keeps popping up in the dream state. And it will continue until you translate it, if you like, and understand it and interpret it, and then change your conscious attitude in a different direction, in a more perhaps positive way or fruitful way, and then you'll find that reoccurring dream will stop.
Well, I don't want Sam Armitage to get out of my dream, so I refuse to do it. There is another recurring dream that I have, though, from time to time. Not every night, but a similar theme that I remember is always thinking that I'm back in high school. So for that one, I do want that to stop. I don't want to keep going back to high school in my dreams. How would I consciously change that in my real life?
There's three steps. You have to write down and record your dream, all right, as it happened, without trying to analyse it. Now, a lot of people say they can't remember it, and we typically will only remember about the last 10 to 15 minutes of a dream. So if you've woken up and it's all fresh in your mind, you've just recently dreamed it, you didn't dream it 4 or 5 hours ago, and you can record it quite quickly or record parts of it. You need to obviously know what you've dreamt about to be able to translate it. You then separately need to think about what was over the last couple of days, look at the conscious state and attitude in your life over the last couple of days and your feelings as well. What were you feeling? So, you know, was I sad? Was I happy, excited, you know, scared? What sort of feelings did I have over the last couple of days? Because it's really relative. So that's the second point. You've actually got to look at your conscious life. You know, have I just changed job or fallen in love or gone on a holiday or something significant? What's happened? Or am I just bored? Because it's relative. And then lastly, you're looking at interpreting. So you've got to link the dream to the conscious attitude, all right? So that, you know, what was I thinking? What was I feeling? What's happened in the last couple of days? Link then the messages of those images, if you like, in the dreams or the people or places you visited to that conscious attitude, and then you can interpret the meaning from that. So we can all interpret our own dreams. We don't actually need to go to a dream analyst to do so, but you're welcome to come and see me, you know, anytime if you'd like to delve into this a little bit deeper.
Goodness, I was about to dump there, Lizzie Rose. That's not a very good business model. You don't have to come see me. I'm not essential. You don't need me. Very against the grain. Hey, what about, could I set up like some sort of sexy dream? Like say I wanted to have a dream about someone and for them to get into some lingerie and stuff. Could I do anything before I go to bed to sort of maybe force that into my dream at 3 a.m. when I'm in my REM?
You can do that. But of course, straight away, you've got to think of free will. So is it against somebody else's astral or ethereal psychic soul self, if you like, to project yourself in their bedroom or in their space, naked in lingerie? You're going to be wearing the lingerie, aren't you?
Yes, we're both wearing lingerie. We're both tickling each other's peaches. Is that unethical? Really, that's unethical if I have a dream about someone else and they don't have their permission.
Well, if they, hypothetically here, have given you permission, Lakey, and you're going to doll yourself up, grab a whip or so, you know, a bit of cream, whatever it is, whatever turns you on, and send yourself, project yourself to somebody else's dream and they're into it, you can actually, and I think we talked about this last time with dreams, you can set up a certain space in the dream state. So you can talk to your loved one or, you know, prospective loved one and say, I'd like to meet you under the tree, under the full moon or wherever it is, you know, with a bag of roses, chocolates, whatever it is, at this certain time, can we both plan to meet there? So that's astral projection or astral travel to that place and a little bit like lucid dreaming. And you can actually program that. It takes a bit of practice, a bit of art of meditating and sort of trance channeling before you go into the dream state. And obviously the other person knowing what time you plan to fall asleep, having the same idea of where we're going to meet, what it looks like. But yeah, it can happen. And if you can actually get to that point with someone on the astral, and then the sexual chemistry is obviously there, or the romance, the passion, it can be out of this world, Lakey, I can tell you.
Wow. Well, yeah. Lizzie Rose, meet me under the eucalyptus tree at 6 a.m. this morning with the foot oil, 9 pineapples and a bucket full of lobsters. Producer Felix, don't you come along and dream yourself into that. This is me and Lizzie Rose's time. You love dreams, hey? You love dreams. Lizzie Rose, the dream analyst, celeb psychic, medium, witch, all around, clairvoyant-y in nature. Thank you so much for being a friend of the show. We'll chat again soon, hey?
Absolutely. And remember, you can check me out on Psychic Oracle, LizzieRose.com.
And on Instagram as well, Lizzie Rose Psychic.
Yes.
Thank you.
Wakey, wakey. It's Danny Lakey.
Bit of a moral conundrum. Well, I'm more just trying to deconstruct the English language. I reckon there's been a phrase that's getting thrown around there that actually means something completely different. And this is probably a conversation that everyone's had out there. either a face-to-face conversation or sometimes probably more commonly said over Messenger or text. But what I think this actually means is something completely different. So I went on a date with someone a couple of weeks ago. I thought it went quite well. How long would it have lasted? 2 hours? 2.5 hours? Pretty good for a first date. No awkward silences, no weird pauses. Had a great chat. Just chewing the fat. A lot of laughs, a lot of good gear. Nice hug at the end, eye contact, etc., etc. I thought it went quite well. Gave it a couple of days. I gave them another text and said, hey, you keen to hang out again sometime? That was good fun. This is the reply. To be honest, I didn't really have that spark. Spark emoji to soften the blow. But I reckon we would be wicked mates. Ha ha. Smiley face. Okay, I've clearly been friend-zoned, and that's fine. No worries about that. Clearly the friend-zone thing is on, and I can take no for an answer. I'm not one of those people that will pester and pester, but, but you're keen to, like, hang out and get, like, if that's that, that's that. No worries. Nothing's ever personal in this life. But what I really suspect, and I don't know for sure, so on 131060, if you could weigh in, please, if you've texted this before and how you see it really being, I feel that I didn't really have that spark essentially means everything's right about you, but I'm just not attracted to you. I think we didn't have the spark is more than likely probably meaning a very polite way of saying, I find you ugly. I think that's what that is. I think that's fair enough. What does I'm not feeling the spark really mean? I wouldn't say I'm not feeling the spark because I think that's a little too, like, cliche thing to say. But I think if someone says, oh, yeah, no, I'm not really feeling it, or, oh, I didn't really think we got along too well, I think that all that could possibly mean is that, nah, I think I'm way hotter than you and I could probably do a bit better and I'm not really attracted to you, which is fine. And, of course, you don't really want to say to someone, I'm not really attracted to you, don't feel... everything's good about you, but I find you a bit ugly, so no thanks. There will be no other date. It's clear here that she thinks I'm a pretty cool person. If what she's saying that she still likes to be mates, so clearly you're saying, okay, well, I like your personality. She clearly likes the personality. It says it there. Unless she's lying and she doesn't want to be mates anymore. I had good banter. We laughed. The only possible reason, surely, is that she finds me not attractive. And that's fine. That's fine. I know. Not everyone in this planet finds everyone attractive. Even the most attractive of roosters would probably still get that, oh, I'm not feeling the spark every now and then. Maddie, from Bendigo, what do you think? Do you think that's a fair assumption?
Yeah, mate, I totally agree. I reckon it's basically a female version of saying, nah, you look better in your profile picture. No good.
Now, that is interesting because I always try and under-deliver on my profile to make sure that I give off a hotter impression in real life. So obviously somewhere along the lines I've misread the situation there. I don't know if it's just a female thing, though. Like, I think guys would say that as well. I would say something relatively similar along those lines if I wasn't attracted to someone after a first date. I would still not say I'm not attracted to you. It would be I'm not feeling the spark, or I'd just like to be friends, or I feel it might be better off that we just left it there. All that... Because if they're hot, it doesn't even matter. You could not have a spark with a hot person, and you're probably still going to run that second date because you want to sleep with them.
Yeah, exactly. But like, as a guy side of it, I look at it as if, as you said, you know, you have a good time, you have a good date, you're having laughs, you're getting along, you're doing well. It's what's missing. It has to only be the fact of attraction.
Yes.
So
clear. The only thing missing is the attraction. I've ticked every other box.
That's it. So the emojis and all that they're using too with the LOLs, that's not really that funny. So, you know what I mean? It's like not that funny, so you're not that attractive, you know? It's like...
Quite hurtful. Quite hurtful indeed.
It is.
Yeah. No, thanks, Maddie. Well, I'm glad I'm not the only one out there. I'd just love to get a female opinion on that. 131060. Girls, am I reading too much into it? Is there anything else? Or have Maddie from Bendigo and Lakey from the studio just nailed it right on the head? To be honest, I didn't really have that spark. Spark emoji. To be honest, I'm an 8.5 And you, Lakey, are a 3. I'm embarrassed to show you off in front of my friends.
Wakey, wakey, it's Danny Lakey.
I've been on a date with someone. It went well. And it was just one of those standard dates, you know, the coffee, the chill, the chat, etc. Nothing happened. No kisses, no sex, not one of those kind of dates. Like, dead set, just a genuine nice date. I left the date after a nice hug at the end and some great conversation, some great laughs, some great eye contact, some great banter. Thinking, oh yeah, you know, well, that's definitely in the bag for a second date, maybe a third, already looking into the future like us Liberans do, romanticising everything, planning our 4 kids and what their names would be. I asked her a couple of days later if she wanted to hang out again, and the said person has texted me, to be honest, I didn't feel that spark, with the spark emoji. But I reckon we would be wicked mates, haha, smiley face. I mean, I think that's just a very nice way of saying I'm not attracted to you. Birdie from Mildura in Victoria, do you agree?
I agree, she's not into you. I don't think she's into the Jesus look.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because yes, I do have the long hair, I've got the beard, etc. But we met on Tinder, and all my photos clearly represent the Jesus look. So usually, women who I'm talking to for a while on Tinder and want to meet up, pretty much straight away, I assume, okay, well, you're obviously into that sort of alternative-y, Jesus-y, hippie sort of vibe. So there were no, it wasn't me advertising myself as some short-haired, clean-shaven bloke. She knew very well that she got 6 photos. You got 6 photos of Jesus. One of them is even me getting nailed to a cross, ironically.
That's beautiful.
It is.
Well, maybe 95% of it is she's not into your looks. Maybe the spark just ain't there. Maybe, you know.
The spark, for me, the spark means there's either A, no chemistry, which it would mean we couldn't hold a conversation, and we did. We chatted our asses off for 2.5 hours. Or it means we don't share the same hobbies and interests, in which case, that's fine, because people get married all the time without the same hobbies and interests.
I went on to stay with a super hot guy, and we just ended up being friends.
Did you?
There's no spark.
Yeah, I know, but did you root him once or twice?
No.
No, never? Not once?
Never, not even once.
Well, what is this spark? Define this spark thing for me.
I don't know where you want to root the guy. Where you want to get in, you know, get a little dirty.
Yeah, but why not? Was I not portraying enough sexual chemistry or something?
Oh, I think you ooze sexual chemistry.
Thank
just
you very
grip
much.
Grip it.
Thank you very much. I do. It seeps out of my pores. It stinks of sex in this studio right now.
No doubt.
No doubt in my mind. Thank you for the softly edged compliment, I think. Birdie from Mildura. Bronwyn from Victoria. I'll take that music off. You don't deserve to be thrown into this little sex chat. Without stating your reasons first, because it's still there if I want it.
100%, she's not into you.
Well, thanks, Bronwyn. Thank you. So you think I'm right? She doesn't find me attractive. She probably does
100%.
Like my personality.
She's just trying to, like, you know, soften the blow.
Yeah.
You're just not her man.
That's fine. That is fine. I'm an enlightened enough being. I've been with enough people to know that I am some people's cup of tea, not the majority's cup of tea, but a small minority's cup of tea. I'm happy with where I'm playing in the dating pool, and that's fine. And I'm happy, and I can easily get over it. If someone says, hey, I'm not attracted to you, that's fine. I'll be upset for 10 minutes or whatever, like most people, and then I move on. That's all good.
That's like when you go for one of those job interviews and then you get the response, I hired internally. It's like, waste my time.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Be upfront and say, sorry, you weren't my cup of tea or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just think it's a cop-out.
Yeah, yeah, of course, yeah. We liked your resume. You looked great on paper. We met you in real life. You gave a limp handshake. You ummed and ahed. And it was quite an awkward interview. Sorry,
exactly.
You're not a good fit for this company. Yeah,
exactly.
I see exactly. Well, that's good. I'm glad that we got a woman's perspective, and I'm glad that my internal compass is actually quite calibrated. Like, I always thought, oh, I'm just saying this for the sake of it. But I know things. I know how you women work. I've cracked the code.
Oh, you know it.
Roy from Tasmania. We'll finish this up quickly. What's
G'day, Chief.
What do you think? Hello, Chief. Hello, Chief Roy and Chazzy. What, she reckons
she's
I'm
clearly,
just a heinous
she's
guy.
She's clearly not into you, but that's her loss. But I'm wondering, do you tell these women what you do for a living?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Because I reckon that's maybe one of the reasons why you're getting knocked back. Because I know if I was in their situation and I knew that this person was a late night disc jockey, and our relationship was probably going to come on on the air at some stage,
yeah, interesting.
I'll be totally not going for that.
Yeah, right. Because she did ask how much would I have to be involved in your stories in the show? I was like, well, obviously a lot, but we can give you a fake name if you want.
I mean, I'm a pretty private person, so maybe she is too.
Yeah. And, okay.
Yeah.
And ironically, the more she's tried to shun her identity, the more we've rang her out to try on the air. Get around the big dog.